Book of Ephesians, chapter 5. You know, a lot of times we pray, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. How many's ever prayed that prayer? You ever thought what that means? We've preached, I bet you, 20 sermons out of this one text. But this week, the Lord gave me a different view of what Ephesians 5:18 says. And I want you to grab a hold of this tonight. I'm going to preach on the subject, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's the meaning and the condition of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, what does that mean? What is the conditions of you have to have to be filled? It is a source, listen, of all vital spiritual experiences. Sunday after church, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, why, preacher? Because I had the privilege of leading a young lady to the Lord after church, right back here. Some of you had already gone and didn't know it, but she come to me and she said, preacher, there's something wrong. I said, really? She said, yeah, there's something just ain't right. I looked right at her. I said, Shelby, I said, if you was to die right now, do you know heaven would be your home? She already had tears running down her face. She said, I don't know, but I hope so. I said, Shelby, I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Bible says today is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Amen. I said, would you like to know you have eternal life when you leave them doors today? She said, yes, preacher, I would. So I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. Now, if you ever led anybody to the Lord, it's the Spirit of God is so real and so powerful. You can feel it. I don't care where you're at. You can feel the power coming down. My friend, when she opened up her heart, heaven came down, and you could know she was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Man, I tell you what, and then Sunday night, and when they started singing, I was just up to here, and Brother Larry sung Drinking From My Saucer. I said, Lord, have mercy, my saucer, it done filled the cup up, filled the saucer up, I'm going to have to start licking it off the floor, amen? I mean, that's just the way it was. And we get so filled, but the only way you'll ever have a true spiritual experience is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And people are scared of that nowadays. They're scared to say, I am filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, why, preacher? Because they're scared they might raise a hand. They're scared they might shout. They're scared they might walk. They're scared they might stand up. They're scared they might come to the altar. So they sit there and quench the Spirit of God instead of saying, rain on me, God. That's where churches are today. And you know what? It starts from the pulpit and ends up in the pew. If the preacher don't want it, the pew ain't going to have it. Amen. Amen. You get a dried up preacher, you're going to have a dried up church. Amen. You get a preacher who won't tell you the truth, you're going to live a lie. Huh? Amen. That's the gospel. But if you preach the truth in spirit, you're going to leave here changed. Amen. And that's the truth, and we need to grab a hold of that. That's the vital spiritual experience. And you know what I thought about? And when you have that experience of feeling God's touch, then you can start having victory in your everyday life. So many times we walk around like this, defeated. You know why? Because we quench the spirit all the time. And when you quench the spirit, you're going to be defeated. But if you allow the Spirit of God to come in and just set up and abode in you, my friend, you're going to have victory. And there's so many people walking around without victory today. I want to give you five ministries. And boy, I might get a little loud here in a minute, but that'll be all right, ain't it? Randy cut my mic down. That's all right. But I got to thinking about the ministries just of the Holy Ghost. You ever sat and thought about what He does? I sat there at the table while I was studying this, and I said, you know what? Number one, without the Spirit, there wouldn't have been no regeneration. You ever thought about that? I thought, man, what is regeneration? John chapter 3 and verse 5. Look at this. Now watch. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, right? Now, let me say this. You say, what does that mean, preacher? He took an old, dirty, low-down, rotten soul like me, just out of the dust of the ground, and He took me, and the moment I got saved, He raised me up, and He regenerated me. He put something in me that used to not be there. Amen? Now follow me. Watch what it says. If you're not born of water and of Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Bible tells me if I've never been regenerated or saved, I can't go to heaven. Amen? And there's so many people banking on a priest or their money or all the worldly possessions thinking that's going to get them into heaven. My Bible says that there ain't but one door and His name was Jesus. And let me say this to you today. The door was open when they jabbed the spear in His side and out gushed blood and water. That give me a door to get to heaven. Amen. That's regeneration. He took some old, dirty, rotten sinner like me and saved me. I'm still dirty, but thank be unto God, on the inside I'm as white as snow. Amen. That's regeneration. And that's what the Spirit of God can do. Number two, not only does He regenerate us, but He also baptizes us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Look what the Bible says. For by one Spirit, not many, just one, are we all, tell me the next word, baptized into one body. That is the body of Christ. Amen? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Y'all know the story about the baptistry, right? Everybody's familiar with that. That means that when you baptize, and we got to have a baptism sometime coming up. We've got several we got to baptize. But I think I'll wait till about January when it's cold outside. We got a good heater anyhow. But now I want you to think something here. Y'all all see what this table says right here. Right? The Lord's Supper, correct? How many know that without that, you can't have that? Without the Spirit, you can't get Jesus. The Bible says, you got to be baptized and you become one. Is that not right? Yeah. Jesus said, you seen me, you seen my Father, right? We three are what? One. So when He baptizes, what that does is the word baptize means in the Greek, baptizo. That means total submerging of one's body. Amen? You see, when the Spirit of God Come the day I got saved, the day you got saved, what happened is he come down and flooded you. He totally submerged you with the Spirit of God. And listen to me, it wasn't part of it. It wasn't my right arm. It wasn't my left arm. But it was my whole body he baptized. Amen. You see, that's the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. It wasn't my mom and my daddy baptized me. My preacher baptized me. It was the Holy Ghost what baptized me. And then I followed in believer's baptism back here in the watery grave just to show the world I wasn't ashamed and I'm proud to be a Christian. Amen. That's why I tell everybody, you know, don't ever be ashamed to be baptized. Well, preacher, I can't swim. Well, you don't have to. I'm going to get you up, I promise you. If I can get Jacob up, I can get anybody up. Amen. That's the truth. His knees hit one end, head hit the other. I still got him up. But now I want you to think with me just a minute. When we baptize, we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? We baptize. We take that body and we don't just wet the back of the hair, but we dip and totally submerge that body. And that shows that they're washed clean when they come up, right? The day I got on my knees, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Lord, would you come into my heart and life and save my soul? The Bible tells me that I got saved immediately and he brought the Spirit of God down and just washed me, cleaned me, submerged me into the Spirit of God. Baptized me. I don't know where these people come off of a little one of them. Huh? That ain't what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that John took my Savior down into the muddy river Jordan and baptized him, totally submerged him, and brought him up. And the dove came down and lit on him. Is that not right? It wasn't no little sprinkle, but bless God, it was total submerging. When's the last time you have been totally submerged in the Holy Spirit of God? Hey, there's a lot of people sitting in churches today. It would scare them to death if they got one arm in the Holy Ghost, amen? Let alone being the whole body submerged. But if you want revival at Mount Carmel Baptist Church, you got to allow the Spirit of God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Not just a finger, not just a foot, but the whole body's got to be willing. My Bible teaches me that the body's not complete without an arm. The body is not complete without a foot. It takes the entire body to be complete. And without you being totally submerged in the Spirit of God, the body is not complete. And if you want Holy Ghost revival like the day of Pentecost, listen to me right here. If you want to have Holy Ghost revival, we got to be in one mind and one accord, and then the Holy Ghost will come through like a mighty rushing wind. We need that in our churches, amen? Not only does he regenerate us, he baptizes us, but number three, he dwells in us. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth where?
In you.
You know, there's a lot of times we get out of the will of God. And I could ask, starting over here with Brother Wes, and come all the way around and start, miss God. But I guarantee you, every hand in the place would go up. And if I was to ask this question, when's the last time, or you ever been out of the will of God? Everybody would raise their hand. Because every one of us is human. Not one perfect one here tonight, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's here. Amen. But when we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're less likely to sin. Now catch me what I'm about to say. We will never be sinless, but with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can sin less. Did you catch that? We're not sinless, but with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you can sin less. And that's what we need. Now let's move on quickly. I got several things to cover, but we're on God's time. That's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. This is one of my favorites. Bible says this. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now what does that mean? Let me explain something to you. My wife, every Monday, she cooks a big supper. She'll cook for 10 or 12. Some of you want to come eat sometime, come on. Because we put up more than what we bring eat. I promise you, don't we? She'll send Mama 5 or 6 bowls. But when we got leftovers, and God help you eat leftovers, I put them in the refrigerator and somebody else can eat them. I don't eat them. But the thing I want us to understand, when we put, like Monday night, she had stewed beef, carrots and potatoes, fried cabbage. What else was it? Field peas, squash, cucumbers. I'm talking about a crock pot. Slap full, rice, slap full, just for 4 or 5 of us, because Nancy, we carry her a pile of it, but here's what I want us to get. If I leave that stewed beef and rice sitting on the counter with no cover over it, what's going to happen? It's going to go to the bad, ain't it? But I'm here to tell you tonight, the day I got saved, that Holy Spirit of God was like a lid on my soul. You see, He come and He covered me and kept me and sealed me until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when the Redeemer is going to draw nigh. That tells me once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Praise God. I'm sealed up. The good stuff is inside of me. Amen. You say, what's the good stuff? The blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's in there. That's sealed. It can't get out. Amen. I told Miss Shelby Sunday morning when I led her to the Lord, I said, Miss Shelby, after she got done praying, I said, did you mean what you just prayed? And I ain't talking about little tiny tears. They was dropping off the bottom of her chin by that time. She started crying. She said, preacher, I've never felt this close to an almighty God in my life. I said, you know what? I said, you just got sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption, praise God. Boy, that's good preaching if I say so myself. But I'm here to tell you, it just didn't happen to her. It happened to everyone that gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you're saved tonight, you're sealed, amen. That's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. And I'm so thankful that it didn't take 5 or 6 days or 2 weeks, aren't you? I'm so glad the moment I asked God into my heart, He come right then. You know why? He sealed me immediately so it wouldn't have room for the devil to slide in. Amen. Praise God. Now, let's get to this one. I've been wanting to get to this one all night. I ain't even got to preach yet. This next one, not only He regenerates us, He baptizes us. He dwells with us. He seals us. Look back at the text verse, Ephesians 5 and 18. Very familiar. Look what it says. But be ye filled. Not only does He seal us, but He fills us. You know, I thought many times I've seen people get a tea glass and just fill it slap full of hot tea. God helps them, I drink hot tea. I like some ice in mine, amen. Get it cool. But if you fill that cup up, there ain't no room for no ice, right? What happens if you're full of the Holy Spirit? That means there ain't no room for the devil or the world to come in. Huh? Because if he tries to come in, listen, y'all gonna like this. If he tries to come in to you and you're already filled, what's gonna happen is he's gonna splash a little bit of Holy Ghost out and you might raise your hand. You might take off running. You might get somebody else involved, amen? And that's what we need in our churches today is a splash of the Holy Ghost, amen? Man, I tell you, some of you ain't got it yet. Maybe you will when you get home, amen? But I tell you, there's ministries in a believer's life of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you two things and I'll be done. Now I'm going to start the message. No, I'm just kidding. The Spirit deals with two types of people, all right? Now keep that in mind as we go along. The Spirit deals with two types of people. Number one, unsaved. I sit up here and I preach, and Brother Jimmy, Brother Travis, y'all probably seen the same thing as y'all was preaching, seeing the Spirit of God convicting hearts. You can see that. You can feel the presence of God convicting. And I thought, man, the Holy Spirit's kind enough, gracious enough, our Father's gracious enough to send the Spirit to let you know you're lost and undone without God. You see, the ministry of the Spirit is to let the unsaved know they're lost on their way to hell. Sunday, I saw the Spirit move. When Lisa brought her back there to me, I knew exactly before she opened her mouth what was going on. But you know what? It's not my job to start the conversation because the Holy Spirit is working. And I allowed the Holy Spirit of God, when she opened her mouth, said, "I'm lost and undone without God." You see, I knew right then that the Holy Spirit of God was working in her life. Sunday morning, I preached a message. I titled it, "Thanks to Calvary." And boy, I'm telling you what's the truth. If it wasn't for Calvary folks, ain't a soul here tonight that would be saved. We'd still be out here cutting up a bull or a goat and sacrificing. But thank God, thanks to Calvary, it's all said and done. Amen. I gotta go ahead and just do this. I wasn't going to do this, but today I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when I asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Praise God. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. I used to be, thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Praise God in the morning. Boy, I tell you, we had a time Sunday morning. I read ahead the second verse. Man, it grabbed a hold of me. It says this, "Then we went down to the house where we used to live. My little girl ran behind the door like so many times before. And I said, 'Honey, you don't need to be afraid. You got a new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be.'" Thanks to Calvary, I don't live that way no more. I'm not that same man I was many years ago. I started reading that and started preaching about Calvary. And you know what? The Holy Spirit started dealing with the unsaved soul. There was another that raised their hand Sunday morning but didn't move. And I ask you, it don't matter who it is. Y'all pray that God would indwell in that soul too. He raised his hand up and said, "Preacher, I'm lost. But I'm here to tell you, thanks to Calvary, that woman ain't the same woman she used to be." He deals with the unsaved, a person without Christ. Jesus is on the outside. Now I want you to catch what I'm about to say, because this is going to grab a hold of you. The unsaved is a person without Jesus, right? That's the unsaved. Jesus is on the outside. And that person, you can put it like this, self is on the throne. I might could write a song about this. But listen, self is on the throne under the judgment of God. Does that make sense? The unsaved, their self is still on the throne. Now watch. The saved. The second people that spirit lives dwells in or works on is the spirit-filled Christian. Jesus don't live on the outside, but lives on the inside. Are you with me? Christ is on the throne and controls that person. That's the spirit. This person now lives not for self, but to serve Christ. That's a ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, if we ever grab a hold of this, I'm telling you, this is the last point I want to make. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, preacher, what does that mean? Old Testament, now let's go back to Genesis, between Genesis and Malachi. All right, let's go there. The Old Testament, the filling of the Holy Spirit was temporary. You ever thought about that? Was temporary. You see, for special occasions, the Spirit came down. You remember what I said Sunday about the priest? How the priest, you know, once Samuel went to that priest, Saul went to the priest, and he said, "Have you seen my daddy's donkeys?" He is looking around. He said, "Yeah, we found them. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back the way you come. And you're going to meet up with a few men. And they're going to give you some bread, some wine, and some meat. Don't refuse it, but take it. And I'll be there right behind you." It had to be a special occasion, because Samuel took the oil and anointed Saul on top of his head, did he not? Everybody knows that. That's well known in the Bible. But what happened is, at that very moment that Samuel anointed Saul, the Spirit of God came down. I want to go back, if I can find it quickly, in 1 Samuel, because the Bible said something. Man, you tell me God ain't here. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." Now listen. "And thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into" what? Ooh-wee. See what the Spirit can do? Now watch. Go down to verse 9. I want you to look at this verse. The Bible says, "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart." You tell me, thanks to Calvary, I got a new heart tonight. Thanks to Calvary, I'm a new man tonight. Amen. Thanks to the dwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a temporary occasion. Bless God. It's an eternal, a permanent thing. I got the Spirit living in me. Man, can you imagine having to wait 6 months on somebody you don't even know to tell them your problems, to tell them your sins, so they can go tell God? That's the way it went. The priest come around once or twice a year, visit little towns. How many know tonight I don't have to go nowhere except on my knees? And I can reach the priest, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You say, "Why, preacher?" Because the Spirit of God dwells in me. That's why. New Testament filling, permanent residence. Amen. Amen. Be filled. Back in Ephesians 5:18, we seen those two words, didn't we? Be filled. I looked those two words up. In the Greek, now listen to this. In the Greek, indicates a continuous command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled means continually full. How about that? The next thing, baptizing of the Holy Spirit. In the Hebrew, it means an action taken once and for all. Ain't that something how that works? And then filling of the Spirit, listen, is like the wind in a sail. It'll move you. Once you ever get the Spirit, you're going to move. I've been here, November will be 3 years, and you ain't moved yet. Something's the matter. The Spirit ain't dwelling like it's supposed to. But preacher, I don't stand up and shout. What if you'd give the Spirit right away? What might happen? What if you tell the Spirit, I'm willing, just come? You might see a hand go up, amen? You might accidentally slip out of amen. Huh? You might quit worrying about your beauty shop hairdo and worry about that instead of let the Spirit of God just come in, because you can get your hair done again Monday. Amen. Tell you what's the matter with churches. They don't want the Spirit no more. Because they're scared. It might move them. Anytime you throw a sail up in a sailboat and the wind blows, you're going to move. Is that not right? That's the whole purpose in the sail, is to catch the wind. How many know God saved us as a purpose to catch the Holy Ghost when it comes by? So we can move. Amen? God said, saved us to serve Him, not to set. And that's why so many Christians get so broken and down and out. And I mean, they get so stagnated and stale and start stinking in the nostrils of God, because the winds quit blowing in our sails. We don't want the Spirit of God no more. We'd rather come and have a formal service, go straight by the bulletin or the book. How many know that ain't godly? I believe we ought to come to church and say, Holy Spirit, it's yours. Do with it what you will. We got away from that. But it's hard to get that with a dignified backwards collar man standing in front of you. Amen. Huh? Starts here and works its way out. People's all my ministry. Why do you preach so loud and so hard? Well, you know what? That's the way God wanted me, and that's the way He made me. Amen. And I ain't going to change for you or nobody else. Huh? I told y'all when you first called me, if you didn't like me, tell me. I'd walk out the door. But I'm not going to change. I'm just like Jesus. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? When He takes me home, then I'll preach some more. Walking around the streets of gold. Amen. Then I won't have to worry about my voice giving out there. Amen. Have a new voice box. Y'all think I'm loud now? What did I get there? You're going to see this little preacher walking around all over heaven. You go, oh, there's Preacher Tim. I hear him over here. That's all right. I'm ready to go. I ain't going to jump on the next train that comes by, but I'm ready to go. Amen. Folks, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in our churches again. And you know what? I've seen a change in this church because we're starting to yield to the Holy Spirit. But it takes 100% commitment to see God pleased. You want to see God pleased with Mount Carmel? Give Him 100% right away. Open your heart and say, Lord, whatever You want me to do, whatever it takes, let me praise You. How many people did he call? You remember Elijah? Boy, he was hiding in a cave. Wasn't he? Y'all remember that? God sent a big wind, didn't he? A big thunder, lightning, rumbling. Elijah said, I didn't hear God's voice in none of that, but what I did hear is that small, still whisper. I heard God whisper. When's the last time you heard God's voice? When's the last time you yielded yourself to God and said, Lord, whatever your will is, let me be. Let me do it. You know, a church that yields herself to the Holy Ghost is the church God's going to bless. You can mark that down. I know I've been in churches preaching, and it was like looking at this wall right here. Nothing moves. Looks like white paint. Still the same there when I got done. I imagine you've done that before. Y'all probably sung in places like that. You look out there and all you see is blank. God's not in that. What God wants is people rejoicing. Can I say something to you? How many's glad you're going to heaven? Say amen.
Amen.
How many's glad you're not going to hell? Say amen.
Amen.
See, we've got even more to go to heaven for today than what we had yesterday. Yesterday I was on my way to hell. Praise God, He saved me. Today I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
You see, I've got a lot to be thankful for. I could have been dead by now. I could have been in a drug rehabilitation somewhere, AAA somewhere. No telling where I'd have been if the grace of God wasn't sufficient. But I'm so thankful tonight, standing here in front of you. I'm not an educated preacher. I don't know a whole lot about this Bible. I'm learning every day. But I'm here to tell you, folks, I know one thing, and that's I'm saved and going to heaven, and I'm not the same man I used to be, thanks to Calvary.
Amen.
Praise God. The other day, I took Jamie's mower to him, and he come out the door. I ain't forgot it. He said he was sitting there, mechanicking in his recliner. Some of y'all catch that in a minute. And he said, Preacher, well, he said, Tim, got to thinking while I was sitting in the house. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I don't have to worry about that fire. I led him to the Lord down at Hornsboro many years ago. It was hot outside. Folks, the hottest day we've got here ain't a drop in the bucket to what hell's going to be. But I'm so glad the cool breeze blowed my way and saved my soul. Amen?
Amen.
All hearts clear. Anybody got a word before we go? You thankful tonight you saved?
Amen.
Hey, tell the world. Tell Jesus thank you that you're glad you're saved tonight. You know, I think that's where Christians fail, God, is to every day thank Him for saving you. Because without Jesus, it wouldn't have been possible. Let's stand on our feet.